Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kreides. Today is August 6, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. So today's episode is titled War and Economics. We have seen obviously quite the doozy in global markets just yesterday with major global indices selling off 2, even 3+%. And we said, be on the lookout today. There might be some rebound, or, you know, you're going to see a rebound or you're going to see a continuation. That's pretty much what you're going to see. Now, depending on what part of the world you're talking about, that's exactly what we saw. In Asia, we saw a continuation. Not as severe, but still to the downside. In Europe, we still saw some of the downside. Not as severe again, but still to the downside across major indices. Here at home in the United States, we saw a rebound. Although, earlier in the session, it was a little bit of a volatile session. It was up, it was down, it was flat. And then we got some, again, quote-unquote news from Goldman Sachs. There was a speech by one of the Federal Reserve members that sort of, again, was out there to lift the markets. This was on the hopes that the Federal Reserve is now going to come once again to the rescue to cut interest rates, perhaps as early as September once again. So this, again, will call into credibility the Federal Reserve, because we were just told a week ago, by Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, that this was just a mid-cycle adjustment, the most recent interest rate cut. Meaning this is a one and done. We're going to be data dependent again. We're going to see what happens. Now, you have to remember that he said, he didn't say this, of course, this way, but they're shooting from the hip. We've never done this before, because one of the key factors that we took into consideration to make this decision to cut interest rates by 25 basis points and to end quantitative tightening is because we're in the midst of this trade war with China. We've never done this before. This has never been our data point that we look at to make a decision. So they don't know what they're doing. They didn't know what they were doing when they were looking at the data they usually look at anyway. Now, this is no surprise to us here at the Capital News, nor should it be to you. We've been talking about this for months. We will be continuing to talk about this for the coming months, because the Federal Reserve has begun a new easing cycle. Make no doubt about it. So you have one of the Federal Reserve members out, James Bullard of the St. Louis Fed, coming out and basically reiterating the fact that there's still a lot of uncertainty out there, and that he thinks it could be appropriate for future interest rate cuts. But he wants to dance. They want to play both sides. These people should stop talking, because they have to end up clarifying everything that they say when they're done saying it. Now you have Goldman Sachs coming out today saying that they're anticipating that the Federal Reserve is also going to continue to cut interest rates, probably a couple more times throughout the remainder of this year, quite possibly in September and October, at a minimum. Goldman Sachs also came out and said they are not anticipating that a trade deal between the United States and China will be finalized before the 2020 presidential election. So again, this is bad news is good news, because now the savior, the Federal Reserve, is going to come to the rescue. Well, didn't the Federal Reserve just come to the rescue last week? And we've just seen the largest sell-off of 2019 around the world, not just here in the United States. You see how much power these people have? I'm telling you, folks, and I've been saying it for months, the law of diminishing marginal returns is kicking in. If the Federal Reserve truly wants to come to the rescue, this, and I use this with air quotes, because this ain't no rescue, okay? They are going to have to come in with the biggest dose of quantitative easing that we've seen yet. They're going to have to slash interest rates. They're going to have to get them back near zero quickly. And they're going to have to embark on near trillion-dollar rounds of quantitative easing, if not more. Again, take the time to check out our video on thecapitalnews.com or our YouTube channel, The Capital News. Are central banks trapped? And you can visually see the assets that are sitting on the Federal Reserve. You can see the assets that are sitting on the balance sheet of the ECB and the BOJ, the Bank of Japan. You can see quantitative easing. As big as those doses were of monetary stimulus, of monetary methadone, of the crack that these addicts on Wall Street want and can't get enough of, that they are addicted to, go look at it. If they're going to come and rescue this, they're going to have to put the pedal to the metal like never before. Are they ready and willing to do that? I don't think so. But if they want to do it, I mean, it's their printing press, I guess. So we have the S&P gaining 37 points, getting back 1.3% today. The Dow gained over 300, an increase of 1.2%. The NASDAQ gained 107, an increase of 1.4%. And the Russell 2000 gained 15, right at the 1% mark. The Dow Jones Transports also gained 1.3% today, and the New York Stock Exchange was up 1% as well. So our volatility model, folks, is alive and well, as we said it would be, still sticking with it. There were some days where it was very low. You know, there were some months of low volatility, and, you know, you come into question, what's it going to do? Is this time different? We stuck with our guns. We said we have, you know, confidence in this model. It's simple. It has went through various business cycles over the past couple of decades, and we're sticking with it. And so just as a reminder, from the sense of what we are anticipating given this volatility model, the days of volatility, again, as we define it, is a move of 1% greater or less than. Okay, so negative 1% or worse off like we had yesterday, or plus 1% or greater like we had today. So those get counted on both sides. To continue trend, you're going to have the Russell 2000 and NASDAQ simply continue what they've been doing throughout the year. Okay, so the same amount of volatility that we've witnessed within these two indices is going to continue. However, when it comes to the Dow and the S&P 500, we are anticipating a lot more volatility by a factor of 2 to 3 times what we've already experienced. If the volatility model is to hold and history is to not necessarily repeat but rhyme. And again, this could be to the upside or the downside. So a melt-up is still in play, and so is another massive correction or even bear market territory like we saw at the end of last year. So it accounts for both sides. We are anticipating one or the other. I lean more towards the downside of things, as you are aware. However, we have these markets that are just addicted beyond belief to the hope that the Federal Reserve cuts more interest rates. Although it did absolutely nothing. We just saw the biggest sell-off. So it's going to be interesting to see how these markets can be manipulated, because there's most definitely going to be continued attempts to do so. Because when you look at the underlying economic data that we do here on a daily basis, it's rolling over, it's slowing down. Okay? We have oil with a big sell-off today. It was at $55 yesterday on WTI. It's now at $53.60. Brent crude was slightly north of $60 yesterday. It's now trading at $58.82 a barrel. Gold continues its climb. It is now trading at $1,484 an ounce. Silver has hit 13-month highs. It is trading at $16.71. Remember, we've been telling you here, folks, buy low, sell high. That's the name of the game. That's the rule. A lot easier said than done, but that's what we're supposed to do. I still believe both of these precious metals are undervalued. However, they have had quite the run, so don't be surprised if there is some sort of pullback. In the meantime, that's just natural habit. That's just the natural behavior of markets. Just like markets don't go straight down, they don't go straight up either. So be mindful of this. Again, as part of proper diversification, I have gold and silver, but you got to make sure you have lead too, because you got to protect it. Lead's a lot cheaper, but you're going to get your return on gold and silver, I do believe. But do your homework, do your own analysis, and have it as part of a broader diversification plan. U.S. 10-year Treasury, relatively flat, but still below 2%, still yielding 1.74%. Again, this is on anticipation that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates and that the global economy and the U.S. economy both are slowing down. The VIX, the volatility index, lost 18% today and is now trading at $20.17. Now, because we have the continuation of lower interest rates around the world, we now have nearly $15 trillion in negative yielding debt. You heard me correctly, $15 trillion in negative yielding debt. It was only what, month and a half ago, maybe, that we were talking about $10 trillion in negative yielding debt, then $12 trillion, then it was nearing $14 trillion, and now we're at $15 trillion negative yielding debt. $15 trillion in negative yielding debt. This is across governments, this is across corporations, and some of them are even junk. And you have negative yielding debt. This is ridiculous. You think something bad's going to happen? Oh, no doubt about it. This is what happens when you have people pulling the levers. This is what happens when you have central banks the world over shooting from the hip, and they've been doing so for a decade. Now, the Japanese have been doing it for a little bit longer, but they're no better off either. So this is just the insanity that continues. So right now, we're going to go all around the world like we have been, because this has been interesting to see how these markets are responding to this increase in trade, this trade war between the United States and China, and a lot of the saber rattling that is going on around the world. And we're going to talk about that today, too, because that, once again, is coming full circle. So the British markets were down about 0.7%. German markets were down 0.8%. Relatively flat for the French and the Italians. But now, obviously, it's trading over in Asia. So what's going on in Asia? We have the Japanese markets down another 123 points. We got the Chinese markets relatively flat speaking right now. A little bit of a gain for the Indian markets. However, the markets, again, that we're paying a lot of attention to is the South Korean market, because I view this as a leading indicator. They are now trading, their index is now trading at 1,911 points. Just a couple days ago, they were right around that key 2,000 figure. 2,000. That proved to be a good technical level for support. Well, South Korean markets have busted through it. So where is the end? Right now, there's no end in sight. So this is a continuation. This is because the global economy is slowing down, and this is because of the trade war escalation between South Korea and Japan. The Hong Kong market continues its descent, down right now, intraday, 170 points, another 0.6%. Now, we also have news from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. They have just decided to cut interest rates by 50 basis points to another record low of 1%. So this was a surprise move. Markets were anticipating a 25 basis point cut from the Royal Bank of New Zealand. They cut by 50 basis points, and the currency markets are going crazy, down over 1%. And in the currency markets, a move of plus or minus 1% is a huge move. So you're also seeing some sell-off in the Australian dollar as well. Now, it's interesting. Will the Trump administration call the Australians and the New Zealand's currency manipulators? Because that was the news yesterday, calling China currency manipulators, because the Chinese were allowing the Chinese yuan basically to float, just to allow the market forces to do with it what it wanted. And there was a big sell-off. Why? Because China's slowing down, and that's what you look at. We know this. So there was no surprise there. I still don't really know what it means to call somebody a currency manipulator. I don't know what extra powers that gives the United States or any other country for that matter. And will we follow through on them? Is this just a campaign promise being made good, so to speak? I mean, it's a joke at the end of the day. And again, I want us, the United States, to flourish. But we got a bunch of lunatics running around Washington, D.C. on both sides of the aisle. And even in the White House. And we're going to get to some of those lunatic advisors here shortly. But so, is New Zealand a currency manipulator? Because they just really slashed their interest rates, and they have a huge sell-off right now in their currency. The dollar is greatly appreciating against the Canadian currency as well. The Canadians, they doing something with their currency? What's this game? What about the Federal Reserve? We're cutting our interest rates. What about quantitative easing? Wasn't that currency manipulation? This is the open secret. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. And it's not right. This is the problem. This is why we have $15 trillion in negative yielding debt and a whole host of other issues. Pushing people further out onto the risk curve. Having them make decisions, financial decisions, that they otherwise would not have made if it wasn't for all of this funny money that exists within the system. And what are these people doing as opposed to reining it in? Now they're putting the pedal to the metal once again. So you can imagine what's going to happen. It's not pretty. So, again, the title of today's podcast is War and Economics. We have National Security Advisor John Bolton, one of the lunatics advising the President of the United States, who should be fired, by the way. I've called for his firing many times and will continue to do so. He's down in South America. I believe he's in Peru. God knows for what reason. But of course, we just spoke yesterday about the president signing an executive order applying maximum pressure to the Venezuelan regime, the Maduro regime, restricting the sale and the transfer of Venezuelan assets, really starting to, again, apply maximum pressure to the Maduro regime. We were thinking maybe this was on the back burner, maybe Donald Trump got tired of it, because we were announcing that Guaido is our man down there for El Presidente, and we tried covertly, we tried overtly, couldn't overthrow Maduro and his regime because he has the support of the military. And I thought maybe we were giving up. We tried. Maybe Donald Trump was getting bored. Well, evidently not. Evidently not. And probably John Bolton caught his ear once again. And he wants to try for round two or three or 10. We have no idea how long they've been trying to do this. But John Bolton's down there saber rattling with the Venezuelans and also sort of poking the bear with the bears plural being Russia and China, if you read between the lines. Because John Bolton is saying, look, our guy Guaido is the rightful president of Venezuela. Not Maduro. He's got to go. And he said, any countries that support the current regime, they better be careful. Because basically saying once Guaido is in office, he may not honor debt payments to countries that supported Maduro. Well, who supported Maduro? Russia and China, primarily. So Bolton here is saying, look, Russia, China, you guys are playing with fire here because we are going to get Guaido in there. Your guy Maduro is going to be ousted, and we're not going to pay you back. So you better not support him. That's fantastic. That's fantastic diplomacy, isn't it, folks? That's fantastic. And then, of course, John Bolton, as he always does at the end, he says, well, all options are on the table. After he threatens everybody, all options are on the table. This guy is a war criminal. As far as I'm concerned, he needs fired. He has ill-advised this president. I mean, he was in there for the George W. Bush administration. I mean, our foreign policy was just fantastic under George W. Bush, wasn't it, folks? Trillions of dollars that we didn't have spent on wars that we're still fighting. We seemingly cannot win. And now this guy is right back there, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, advising the president. And apparently the president's listening to him. Because this maximum pressure, this has John Bolton written all over it. All over it. Now he wants, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he wants military intervention if it could happen. So this is ridiculous. I mean, again, we just spent 2 years here dividing our own country on whether or not Russia and Trump colluded or conspired to meddle in our elections. And of course, it was found that the Russians were meddling in our elections. No surprise. This was not the first time. It will not be the last. And I can guarantee you, if Bob Mueller was asked to investigate other countries, even some of our allies who may have been meddling in our elections, oh, he would have found evidence. And he probably would have brought charges against those countries too. But this was all about Russia, 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 and Trump, Trump, Trump. It's okay for us to do it. Out in the open. We want Guaido down there. Not Maduro. Guaido. He's our guy. Why? Because he went to the town square and said, I'm the president. And that's good enough for the United States of America. We can do whatever we want, but when somebody messes with us, it can't be done. This is ridiculous. This is poor leadership. This is why we are not trusted. This is why we are so disrespected around the rest of the world in a lot of regards. And we don't have to be this way. We don't. We can lead and should be leading by example. We are not the policemen of the world. We're supposed to take our marching orders from the Constitution of the United States. Nowhere in the Constitution of the United States does it say that we are supposed to be the policemen of the world. In fact, if you understand the genesis, if you understand the fundamentals, the beliefs of our founding fathers, and you just read a lot of their letters back and forth to each other and their speeches, they warned us. They said, do not get involved with foreign entanglements. Talk with people. Trade with them. Don't get involved in their affairs. What wisdom. We're too stupid, I guess, to heed their call. It's not that difficult. Mind your own business. They need help technologically speaking. Extend an open hand, go down there and trade with them. I just don't get what's so difficult. Because people are starving to death all over the world needlessly. We're going to war with people. We're saber rattling in Venezuela, evidently up in the ante down there, still saber rattling with Iran. And now we just had our Secretary of Defense, I believe, down in Australia. And you also now have the Chinese saying, look, United States, you better be careful because you're playing with fire if you start to install missiles in Asia, in our backyard. So this is ridiculous. And then you have the Indians and the Pakistanis still, you know, starting to escalate their skirmish with Kashmir. So again, like I said yesterday, we have dry powder all over the place and lunatics all over the place playing with boxes of matches. What could possibly go wrong? So that's John Bolton. He needs to be fired. Another lunatic advisor ill-advising the President of the United States is Peter Navarro, one of the... He's not really a part of all of these trade negotiations. That's more on Steven Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, and our trade representative, Robert Lighthizer. But nevertheless, Peter Navarro is in there. He's a big advocate for this tariff escalation. And I'm sure he's... Well, there's no doubt that he's advising and consulting the president on this. And I really think he's the man that has the ear of Donald Trump. Because these two talk like they're twin brothers. And I think a lot of the rhetoric originates not from Donald Trump, but from Peter Navarro. And Donald Trump is simply reiterating what Peter Navarro is saying. That's my belief. That's how I interpret it. Well, I caught a clip earlier today. I guess Peter Navarro was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace brought up the topic of tariffs. And he showed Mr. Navarro a chart of prices of goods. Some of the goods, well, the goods, I should say, that have been hit with tariffs coming into the United States. And the price of goods that are not hit with tariffs. Well, lo and behold, no surprise to us here, but the prices of goods that have been hit with tariffs have gone up 3-4%. Counter that, the goods that have not been exposed to tariffs have actually gone down. Now, I would maybe argue with that a little bit, but nevertheless, there's no doubt in my mind that the prices of the goods that have been hit by tariffs have gone up. Now, this data, as cited by Fox News and Chris Wallace, was from government sources. So you have basically the Labor Department and the Commerce Department. So you have Peter Navarro asked a question, how do you explain this? Because we're always told that prices aren't going up, that the tariffs are being paid by China, that U.S. consumers and businesses are not affected by this. What was Peter Navarro's answer? He didn't have one. He completely deflected. He was attacking the Federal Reserve again. He wasn't asked about the Federal Reserve. This guy is a huge advocate for these tariffs. And he's saying that China is paying for them. And that's what Donald Trump is saying. These two are lockstep. He's asked a point-blank question. How can you explain this? Dodges the question. Blames the Federal Reserve, saying, well, we would have had 1% higher GDP if the Federal Reserve didn't cut interest rates, or if they would have cut interest rates and didn't embark on quantitative tightening. I mean, it's all their fault. No, that wasn't the question. We can have a conversation about the Federal Reserve, but that's not the question. We're talking about tariffs. Then he starts talking about Goldman Sachs, and he starts complaining about Goldman Sachs and a whole bunch of corporations the world in this country sending jobs and businesses overseas. Mr. Navarro, are you not aware that Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spent 17 years working with Goldman Sachs? He was an executive with Goldman Sachs. Does he know this? Does he not care? I mean, do these people not know what's going on? This is why they are ill-advising the president. I don't think they know what's going on. I really don't. Because their policies are hurting this country. These policies are hurting American farmers. And I mean, I don't know if this is ironically or however you want to put it, but it does not help Donald Trump to be accused of conspiring with Russia. We place these tariffs, we have this trade war with China, and who increases their business with China? None other than the Russians. They're selling more wheat, and now I come across they're selling more poultry as well to China. They've just been approved to sell poultry into China. So U.S. farmers are getting hit, they're getting whacked, and I saw some interesting data too on that, whereby I believe we were selling as much as $25 billion worth of agricultural products to China at the peak in 2012, okay? Who was president in 2012? Barack Obama. and it stayed around that level, coming down a little bit. Then Donald Trump becomes president, and you have this trade war, and now we're at $9 billion. So we go from $25 billion in agricultural exports to China down to our current level, about $9 billion. And now it's going to go to zero because China just said we're halting agricultural imports from the United States. So fantastic. Fantastic. And we've been told all along that China's had us over a barrel, that the farmers have been suffering under the Obama administration. Well, clearly not, because I might be mistaken, but I don't think I am. $25 billion is greater than $9 billion. And I believe the farmers would rather sell $25 billion to the Chinese than $9 billion. But of course, don't worry about it, because Donald Trump has everything under control and he's bailing the farmers out, which means you and I are bailing them out. You and I are bailing them out. We're paying higher prices because of this trade war, not the Chinese. We are. We're paying the bill. The farmers are suffering as a consequence, but they're being, quote, made whole, although they're not, because you still have multi-year high bankruptcies being filed by farmers across this country, and they're getting bailed out, so far to the tune of over $20 billion. Making up for those losses, isn't it? Is that winning? Is that a trade war that's easy to win? These are easy things to do, which is what we were told by this president and the administration. It's been over a year, and now you have Donald Trump taking to Twitter today and saying, look, I will continue to do this next year if necessary, meaning continue to bail out farmers to the tune of tens of billions of dollars. These farmers don't want handouts, ladies and gentlemen. They're American patriots. They're hard workers. They want to work. Now, some of them are still sticking with them. Some of them still buy the argument that Donald Trump is just taking China head on, and this is what the, you know, this is the short-term pain, perhaps, that they're going to have to deal with. I mean, if China has found new supply chains, if they have found new sources for soybeans and wheat and poultry, which so far they have been doing with Brazil and Russia, and I'm sure some others as well, then why all of a sudden will they come back to the United States? Especially if they don't believe that the United States will make good on our promise. If there's something else that will agitate Peter Navarro, Steven Mnuchin, Larry Kudlow, or somebody else who has Donald Trump's ear. Or maybe just upsets the president himself. Says, oh, we're back in the war. Trade war. This is the insanity that is existing. I don't believe this is the best course of action. I think that the Chinese economy has a whole host of issues that they are dealing with. We're going to have to save that for a conversation for another time, because I think that has a lot to do with their currency right now when they're trying to defend it. Therefore, you know, their FX reserves that they would go into to defend their currency, that's going to be a conversation in and of itself. We'll save that for another time. But there is a lot of moving parts. I truly believe Donald Trump is being ill-advised by a lot of his consultants and advisors there in the White House. Peter Navarro has got to go. John Bolton has got to go. And I think, honestly, that would send a big signal to the rest of the world that the president might be serious about changing course on a couple of these policies that need to be changed. We don't need to be installing other governments in other countries. That's not our job. Our Constitution doesn't authorize it. Shouldn't be saber-rattling around the rest of the world. Shouldn't be getting involved in these trade wars. They are not easy to win. They are very costly. It creates a huge amount of economic and financial uncertainty, which we are witnessing. And now it's basically causing the Federal Reserve to come back to cut interest rates once again, which is terrible policy. And this is, it's not good. I don't know how else to put it. This is not good. People need to be prepared. I mean, if the market should sell off again, and I'm not saying that it's going to, but if it does, it's going to happen quickly. And it's just like in December, it hits you like that. How many people are prepared? That's why I tell you to stay diversified. Have a little bit of everything. If you've got a long-term time horizon, you're young, you can stomach this volatility. Stay invested. Also, build cash, because if there is a correction, because there will be, because recessions have not been outlawed, then if you're sitting on some cash, when this thing comes down, you're going to have the sell of a lifetime, and you're going to be able to buy things for pennies on the dollar. So stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News, because it is interesting times. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out. We truly appreciate it. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.